Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
My whole career have been in Charlotte. There's a lot of misconception, a lot of things that's been in the media that hasn't been organically made by me, but I feel like Charlotte has become a part of my family, has become a part of my life and my growth. I want to be the quarterback that's leading the team to victory when they win the Super Bowl.
So that was Cam Newton. Now, this was on a podcast, Rich, that you've been listening to. I haven't heard yet, right?
Yeah, so on The Ringer, they have the Ringer NFL show, and they have a bunch of different podcasts on that channel, and one of them just started up. Tyler Tynes is the guy who works for The Ringer, and he has something called the Cam Chronicles.
Oh.
And so episode one, I gave that a listen to, and he talks to a lot of people. This episode is really kind of highlighted by Cam's father, Cecil Newton.
Basically said he built Cam.
Pretty much. Yeah. He said he's the most influential person on his life then, now, and forever. And it's a lot of interviewing with him.
Doesn't it mean more if Cam says that than if Cecil says, I'm the most influential person
maybe,
in his life?
And maybe Cam will at some point. You know. And so it's this guy kind of, he does talk to Cam Newton. But he goes while Cam's working at a camp, and his father introduces him, and he's like, hey, I'm doing sort of like a podcast series. It's like one of these like narrative type of ones. He's like, I'm doing, you know, a documentary, if you will, on you. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, kind of doesn't really want to be involved in it, but he did give him some time. But more of it is through the eyes of other people. And they even kind of tease at the end, you know, they're going to chronicle him going to Florida and what happened there at Florida and, you know, dealing with different people that have been in his life the whole time. Because the whole premise of it is Cam Newton is a superstar athlete and we don't really know a ton about him. We don't really know a whole lot about his upbringing. We don't really know about that. And that's what this guy, Tyler Tynes, set out to do.
We haven't really heard from Cam at all, at least in an official capacity as a member of the New England Patriots. Patriots announced his signing, put out a release. They haven't even done one of those video Zoom things, you know, with the media. We've heard from him in his Instagram stories and his hype videos, which just got little Richie Keefe all sorts of excited.
They're pretty good.
And now he's on a YouTube. Now, this is Odell Beckham Jr.'s YouTube channel, right?
Correct.
So it's Cam. It's Odell Beckham Jr., it's Victor Cruz, and it's Todd Gurley. And they're all sitting around a table, and as you pointed out, greatest flag football team ever.
Yeah, some talent there.
So they're sitting around a table, drinking wine, smoking cigars, but we get to hear from Cam Newton specifically about the Patriots. And this first cut was him telling the story, and Odell Beckham Jr. jumping in here as well, about when he first heard about the interest from the Patriots.
Man, I got a call, and my agent hit me, no cap. I was working out, and he was like, hey, man, you know, we just got an interest from a team. I'm like, okay, cool, who? And he was like, New England. I said, hold up. Like, how is me and Belichick going to mesh? You know what I'm saying?
Because that was the first thing I thought.
Because it's like perception. Yeah. Like,
but I think his perception of Belichick is not that. Like, I went to LSU, you was at Auburn. I watched you do what you do, right? And then you get to the league, and I'm thinking I'm the one dancing, I'm having fun. And then I see you out there and what you brought to the game and to the table. So I understand, like, I feel like now that I've gotten to link with you this offseason, I just have so much more respect, a better understanding, a better appreciation of what you've been through. So for me, watching you and now to feel that vindication and to be going to Belichick, there is no, like, how is it going to work? For me, all he want to do is put you in a place to succeed.
Yeah. I think Odell Beckham's dead on.
He wants to come here so bad.
Yeah, and I think he wanted to come here originally just because Brady was here, but I think now that they have a real quarterback again, I think he wants to come back again. Like, I think for about 3 months, he was like, yeah, New England doesn't make sense, but I think now he would welcome it again. But it's interesting. So Cam's reaction is, how's this going to mesh with Belichick? And I think Odell Beckham is a guy that realizes that, no, Belichick is such a good coach, and one of the reasons why is because he puts his guys in a position to succeed. He's going to find what they do well and utilize that. You know, whether it's offense or defense, he's going to get the most out of his players, particularly the starting quarterback, who's the most important. So I thought Beckham said it well. He's like, and he knows, hey, Cam is a guy that goes out there and has fun and, you know, does that on and off the field, but it's going to work. He is going to mesh with Belichick because Belichick's priority is winning.
We've also said all along that whether it was Jarrett Stidham or somebody else, in this case probably Cam Newton, the guy who follows Tom Brady has an unenviable task. You are going to suffer by comparison, and I don't care who you are. Even Steve Young, as great as he was, probably suffered by comparison following Joe Montana, who was in the argument until the last couple of years as the greatest quarterback who ever lived. And Cam Newton, during this roundtable discussion, says, oh, he knows who he's following here.
But it also is like this, too. It's like, okay, like, can we not – we have to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's like, you know you who you coming after. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. What he was, what he is great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now. All right, you know, and I told, hey, you getting a dog? You getting one of these ticked off dogs too? That's like, bro. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay, that team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with? Nah, man.
I think he checks every single box for who would you want to replace Tom Brady. Because it is. It's a ton of pressure. You know, whoever replaces Bill Belichick's going to be a ton of pressure. It's just the way that it is. And for somebody who has that confidence, somebody who already has a resume and a really good career behind him, now on top of it has a lot to prove based on all these teams passing up on him, even the team that he spent 9 years with, not even, you know, wanting him back and all of that. I think he's perfect. And then toss in as sort of an added bonus the style of play, which is different. When he points out that McDaniels can call different
right.
plays, of course he's right.
I mean, you certainly would not call all of the exact same plays for Tom Brady that you might be willing to call for Cam Newton. He's exactly right. And I'm sure Josh McDaniels is going, all right, I still got all these pages I can still use out of my playbook.
Oh, yeah.
But I got all these other pages over here that I never could have used.
And McDaniels, we at the very least know that he is interested in a mobile quarterback. He took Tim Tebow in the first round when he was in Denver. And whether you thought it was a smokescreen or not or whatever it was, they did work out Lamar Jackson when he was a couple years ago coming into the draft. So the idea of Cam Newton, I think Josh McDaniels welcomes with open arms. And I understand you can say the same thing. Well, hey, there are certain plays that Tom Brady can run that Cam Newton wouldn't be successful at. Right, sure. But the point is, Cam can do stuff differently. Now, if it's on the goal line and you run the ball three straight times with Sonny Michel and you can't get in the end zone, well, guess what? You could do something different now with Cam Newton. But I just think somebody like Jarrett Stidham, if you get off to an 0-2, 0-3 start, and oh, by the way, you're not just replacing Brady because he retired. You're replacing Brady in a year where he's now down in Tampa with two of the best receivers in the league, and we're going to be able to compare and contrast.
And your all-world
all
tight end went with him too,
right? So Brady could be 3-0 with like 900 or something yards passing and 8 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks, and meanwhile, you know, Stidham can't get out of his own way. That's going to be brutal. But somebody like Cam Newton, I think, not only can handle that pressure, I think he's going to embrace it. I think that's going to be another part of his motivation for the season is, yeah, I know how good the guy was before, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have a great quarterback this year, too.
I have wondered if the extra motivation angle gets overblown, because I assume that great athletes, great coaches, they're motivated to win every single day. Wouldn't matter if there was nobody in the stands or if they're playing in the parking lot. Tom Brady wants to win every single thing he ever touches. I assume Newton is in that category as well. So I've thought that he's more motivated now. I thought it's overblown. And then I heard this answer where he went into detail about how things ended in Carolina.
When it happened, I was like, bro, when they sent the text like,
yeah. That's the part that's hard though, because now you walking around the building a little different, and you when
wait, they sent the text. It. They sent you a text.
Nobody called me. My agent called me, bro, and that's why I was like, bro, it was a text sent, and then I was like, what? And then he called me, was like, man, yeah, man, I told them don't just do that. Like, we're going to have to agree to what team you're going to be traded to. Mm-hmm. I said, this whole time, the owner couldn't call me.
No.
The GM couldn't call me. But they called me after the fact. Basically, they called me, you know what I'm saying, with the decision already made.
Yeah.
You know, it was in the book.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, you know, and I'm talking to them, I'm like, bro, like, you I'm going to be professional. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to answer the phone call, yes, sir, no, sir. That's how my mom raised me. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, bro, y'all got some nerve, bro. Like, I'm a warrior, bro. You know what I'm saying? I take everything at heart. I'm the type of dude that get off the bus mad. It's raining outside. Oh, y'all tried me. So let alone, I done gave this whole city. I gave this whole franchise. I gave the coaches everything. My mind, my body, my soul, my heart. And this how y'all treat me, bro? And I said it in the interview before, I never once wanted to leave. Y'all pushed me out because y'all didn't believe in me. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, they was like, he's not healthy yet? Nah, get rid of him. I'm like, okay, cool.
I've thought that the motivated athlete angle was overblown. When I listened to that, I'm not so sure.
Oh, I think motivated athlete is a huge thing. I mean, Tom Brady still remembers all the quarterbacks picked ahead of him. We talked to Devin McCourty, and he uses not being recruited out of high school as the motivation.
Right.
Rodney Harrison would make stuff up when he was with
all
the Patriots
to
get something going. And I think, you know, so many guys in the NBA do the same thing about where they were drafted and how many guys were ahead of them and the specific teams that took guys ahead of them. So I think it matters. Just like I think Brady, Belichick, and Cam Newton, all three of them this year have like a new kind of shot in the arm motivation for the year. Doesn't mean that last year the three of them didn't want to win. They all did. But it's just, it's different. And I think they're going to be reinvigorated, all three of them, for different reasons. And that can only help. I mean, I think Cam's going to remember how the Panthers treated him. They lied about him wanting to get traded. He didn't. Then they tell him in a text that he's not coming back.
That's really weak sauce, isn't it?
That part's crazy. He's the face of their franchise, the number one overall pick, all of that stuff. And
all accounts are,
right,
was a perfect citizen.
And
perfect
wanted to
representative.
Be there.
Yeah,
wanted to be
perfect
there.
Representative of your organization.
It's one thing, and I don't think it would have been right, but let's say here, when it was getting kind of ugly at the end with Rob Gronkowski here, right? It was like, is he going to retire? He's not going to retire. Oh, they tried trading him. He said he wouldn't go. And you're like, you know, you can get kind of some bad blood, but I don't really understand where the bad blood came from with the Panthers and Newton. Newton got hurt. That happens. He got hurt, couldn't play.
Got hurt, by the way, trying to help your football team win games.
Right, and played through a bunch of injuries over the last couple of years as well, which was not good for his career. And when it came time to move on, they're like, they texted him. Like, that's pretty cheap.
So Cam said in the first cut that we played for you, he was actually a little surprised when he heard that the Patriots were interested. He even wondered how he would, you know, coexist with Bill Belichick. But you get the sense, listening to this cut, the more he thinks about it, the more he kind of likes it.
So now I'm going to another situation where it's like I get coached by arguably the best coach
ever.
Swear.
Arguably.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And now it's like, if we was playing spades, it was like, bro, you know, we all had this. Bro, you give me your hand and you get my hand and let's see what you would do with it.
So I was listening this morning to the Greg Hill Show, as I do every morning, and Wiggy was talking about some of the videos that Cam has been putting out. Instagram stories. Now we've got the YouTube channel stuff. You and I kind of like this stuff.
Love it.
Work kind of with Wiggy. I heard other people who called in during the show this morning who didn't like it as much. I think it's all great. He has not put himself above the unit. He hasn't, hey, this is all about me. He's just talking about how motivated he is to play as well as he can. I got no issues with any of this
stuff.
Yeah,
I think the main thing that won't fly with the Patriots is if you start crapping on the opponent, giving them bulletin board material, or, I mean, you never hear it, but crapping on teammates. Like, you're not going to.
And you don't criticize a teammate ever.
Yeah, if you do that publicly, then that won't fly. But Bill knows that these guys now have you know, millions of followers on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or whatever, and it's important to them. Maybe Bill thinks that's crazy, but he at least knows that that's important to them. A lot of these guys are brands. Nobody more so than the quarterback that he just had. Wasn't always that brand for 20 years, but for the last several, he definitely was. And he knows, yeah, I'll let these guys do that. Now, there's probably a line, and there's certain things, again, like we said, you can and can't talk about, but the McCourties have a podcast, which for the last couple of months, I feel like every week they break news on something.
Yeah.
They're talking about league
issues.
And
they're very forthright.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, Edelman has all of his merch, and he has his videos, and he does his stuff. The fact that he even took a chance on Antonio Brown last year kind of speaks to, yeah, he's okay with the modern athlete. I think for some reason, it's still twisted that he's not, and he wouldn't allow it, but he does, and he did, and he certainly will, and it feels like he's going to embrace Cam Newton.
So yesterday on OMF, Christian Fourier responded to the videos that Cam Newton has been putting out.
We are talking about football, right? And I get having a chip on your shoulder. I even get manufacturing that chip on your shoulder. But I don't know if I can handle every day a post talking about how different he is. And nobody, I don't even know this Cam. Oh my God, so we all better be really careful because he doesn't even know what this is going to look like. This could be crazy, crazy. I mean, really, it's got some Ray Lewis in it.
Disagree. Ray Lewis, yeah, I have no idea what he's talking about. Cam Newton, I understand what he's talking about. Cam Newton is motivated. He is a different man. He's trying to tell us that he's healthy. He's trying to tell us that he's embracing this new challenge. He's going north. His kids are like, hey, are we in Charlotte? Nope, we're going north. I understand what that means. If you give me a line from something Cam Newton has said, I can easily translate it. You give me something that Ray Lewis said, no clue. I'm lost. I have no idea what Ray Lewis says most of the time. So I don't equate the two.
We're going north.
That means New England is north of North Carolina, so he's heading north.
He's telling the truth.
That's where he's going.
And he's got a good sense of geography.
The only thing standing in the way of a great season for Cam Newton is injury or the coronavirus. There's no other explanation for him to not have a really good year here.
Yeah, and both of those things are obviously out of his control.
Right.
Those are not things he's got anything he can prepare for. He's put the physical work in, obviously, and that's you see that in the videos that he's put out, the workout videos and throwing with his teammates and all that stuff. The coronavirus, he's got no control over.
I mean, I know he's taken a lot of hits in his career, but he's 10 years younger than Tom Brady. Like, we see quarterbacks play into their late 30s, and now with Brady and Breeze into their early 40s. I think Cam Newton, who's 31, I think he's more than capable of having a really good year.
Yeah, I said all along, as long as he's healthy, he'll be fine. I just doubt that he'll stay healthy. I hope he does.
I mean, he's been healthy every year of his career except for last year. So you're really basing that off of last year.
Yeah, the last couple of years he's had some issues, but yes. More last year than the year before. He tried to play through some stuff the year before that
right.
as well.
I mean,
he missed two games. He tried to play.
Yeah, he missed two games that year. And
well,
I
because
say,
he was so bad in the four previous games that they, I think they finally, in effect, shut him down.
Enough is enough, and they weren't a playoff team, and they were like, enough is enough. I just think with good coaching, too, I think that's going to be a big difference for him, and I think that can help him. They're going to get the most out of him. They're going to know, you know, what his limitations are, and he's in a really good spot. And I know that the receivers, the tight ends, and the running backs aren't exactly great, but they never have been in 9 years in Carolina.
You're getting a dog.
And you're getting a dog.
Love dogs. I retweeted the video that somebody posted, I don't know, it's a couple of weeks ago. And it was Cam Newton. He was doing the Graham Bensinger, how do you say it? It's Bensinger, I think. He was doing his show, was in front of a theater, I assume in Charlotte. And it was Cam Newton standing in front of a live audience and talking about, you know, what he does at the line of scrimmage. And you know, when you listen to him and you watch, and the whole video goes like two straight minutes, and you realize the charisma. You realize, you know, what teammates see when in the locker room. And just to give you a taste of it, this is what he was saying on a stage in front of a live audience.
Give an example of a play you would call in the huddle versus one that you'd call at the line of scrimmage.
Really? All right, here we go. You want it, right? All right, here we go.
I want it.
I get the play. Here we go. Here we go. We got twins right. Key left, 631 smash every track, sneak. Hey, alert, alert now. Listen, Benji, I need you to pay attention now. Because last time you got jammed on the West Coast, if he press you, I'm going to check my hand. If I open palm, that's a fade. If I give you the slant signal, that's a slant. All right, here we go. One more time. We got 631 smash every track, sneak. I want alert to smash. I want ready.
So what are you saying there?
So, listen. It's twins, what I say, twins left or twins right? It don't matter. So if it's twins right, because the formation may change, you can tomato, tomato, you can run right or you run left. So if it's twins right, usually Benji's my guy. And for all, Benji is Kelvin Benjamin. If it's a look that I like, I come to the line of scrimmage. Usually it's probably 12 to 14 seconds left on the play clock. So you probably get the Omaha, Omaha from Peyton, but you know, usually. I don't got that in my repertoire yet, so I was trying to call Charlotte, Charlotte. Don't worry about it. So I look to Benji. If Benji has a one-on-one look, I told him I'm open palm for a what? Fade. Or if I wanted to them do a slant, I'll give him a. So I'm gonna have everybody really wearing their blinders. Oh, Chelsea, he just gave him a fade signal.
First of all, did you notice?
Sounds like a laugh track, first of
all.
Well,
it was. I watched the whole video. It's a whole live audience thing. It's like in a theater. But the other thing, do you notice how different he sounded there than he sounded at the round table with Odell Beckham Jr. and those other guys? He was a whole lot more Southern with Odell and Todd Gurley and that whole and Victor Cruz. But listen to the detail. Listen to, you know, what he's got, what he's going through in his head and what he's trying to get from his teammates, and you realize they love this guy.
Oh, they love him. I mean, that's a quarterback in the NFL. I would expect every quarterback to be able to do that. But I think his personality, like when he first got here, one of the things that jumped out was just the response that all the best players gave him. Now, again, it's just social media. That's all they can sort of, that's what they post. But I think once he gets inside that locker room, you have a clear-cut starting quarterback and a clear-cut leader of the team, like right away. Whereas that was sort of the other part of, hey, is Stidham going to be a good quarterback or not? Really difficult, I think, to be a leader, just your first year as a starter and second year in the league. But Cam Newton comes from with a whole lot of experience. He's seen a whole lot of football, and I think the guys are on the team are just going to gravitate towards him easily.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you in just a few minutes. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
The beginning of madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
This is madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
Keefe, kiss my ass. How's that sound?
Oh, Keefe's a nice guy.
What now?
I got really into home brewing. I got a home brewing kit. Pretty time consuming.
Who's door, Keith?
Where's Keith?
Where is he?
Where's Keith?
Where is Keith?
Hey, Keith, you're a douche.
This is madness.
I'm going to suggest it might include poop.
Yo, Keith of Madness is so hit or miss.
You're only giving a little spark of madness.
Keith, you jackass.
Keith, Keith for Madness?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams. I'm CEO and founder of Cosplayer Nation. We did a documentary all about cosplaying across America from Maine to Seattle to Whitey, Puerto Rico. We've won 3 awards. We're practically compass to the cosplay community, as well as we interviewed the guy who coined the phrase cosplay from the 80s, Tokunishi Takahashi.
Here you go. It is a
I would
Tuesday.
Love to know what those 3 awards were.
Great question. I have no idea.
We've won 3 awards.
You notice he didn't really get into detail.
No,
there.
He left some of that
again,
out.
Again, you could win an Oscar. You could win a Razzie. It's still an award.
Yeah,
so.
It's an award.
I don't know what Joshua Adams won.
A Kazi.
I haven't had a chance.
A cosplay
maybe.
Award.
It could
maybe.
Be. It could I haven't be. Had a I chance don't. To catch up with him in a while. These poor Comic-Cons,
oh,
I think, are
man.
In trouble. Oh, by the way, they're doing virtual San Diego Comic-Con later this month.
Are they?
Everything
Isn't
is going to be online.
Isn't that what the Hashtag Dork podcast does every year?
That's what we do every year. We cover it. We're the best at covering the San Diego Comic-Con from Boston in the business. And
well
so
done.
We're going to be doing it like everybody else.
Dragon
this
Con
year.
Was recently canceled
so,
a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Did you get your refund?
All-time Onion headline from 1998, plan to get laid at Dragon Con 99 fails.
My friend Amy Bruni does these paranormal conventions.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing some of these paracons remotely and virtually as well.
Yeah, it's a strange time.
I have a loose plan to get laid by a ghost at one of those.
It's a very loose plan.
Well, you should consult the person from Australia that had sex with a ghost.
Yeah, if you believe that.
Well, we do.
We do, Dale. You might not.
We're true believers here. And so people aren't going to Comic-Cons anymore because they can't. But what they are doing is they're going to TikTok because TikTok is still going. I know we had the report last week that...
Now, Shime's a big TikTok guy, right?
Huge TikTok guy. He's all over the TikTok. Was it at Shime Time on the TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, this gentleman... Now, here's a question I think we all have. Anybody who's involved in the social media, you want to go viral. You're looking for something big to do. And you say, hey, if I get however many likes, I will do blank. What are you willing to do for likes and clicks?
I mean...
In Shime's case, virtually anything.
You told us a story earlier.
To be honest, Dale, you're probably right.
You ate a peck of jalapenos.
I know.
Yeah. Which sounds like a lot.
Somebody on the text line actually explained what a peckful was, too. I think they said it was like a quarter of a bushel. Fun fact.
You did not eat a quarter of a bushel. You did not eat a quarter of a bushel.
All right, Dale,
of jalapenos.
I may have been over-exaggerating on peckful, but it was pretty close.
Jalapenos. More jalapenos than you ate. It's pretty good.
His butt would have been on fire the next day.
So what would you do, Shime? Say you were like, hey,
say it wasn't.
Or you're on like Twitch. You're like, hey, if I get 1,000 Prime subs or whatever they call it, I will do what? Because you need to entice the people.
Yeah, so I told the Twitch people that if we got a certain amount of subscribers, I would put on a full set of karaoke. Like
thank you very much for the Twitch Prime sub, Oki Man.
so you would do a whole set.
Yeah, okay, a whole karaoke
so
set.
So you're going to sing later today, but
you
whole...
thought that was going to sell this?
Yeah, you need to do something else, I think, Shime. Maybe do something else.
Yeah, I might need to get like involved some deadly animals or eating like a bushel of jalapenos.
Would
of some
you
kind?
Wrestle a
yes,
bear?
Ma'am.
Would you wrestle
bear
a
might
bear?
Be a little too much for me.
A wolf.
I could wrestle a wolf.
One
I'll
wolf.
Do that.
Oh, it would not go well. I'm telling you, it would not go well for you.
All right, so we have a gentleman in Louisiana who was, again, he was looking
to... This is unusual. Florida, I'm used to. Louisiana's
Florida,
a lot
of Florida. Yeah, we just go a little west, and this is a TikTok star here.
Walking around Bass Pro, and I just made a video that said, I was just joking, and I was like, if I get 2,000 likes on there or more, I'll jump in the tank.
2,000 likes, which doesn't seem like a lot. Not that my stuff generates that kind of
low bar.
Yeah, it's a lower bar. He's walking around the Bass Pro, and if you've ever been to a Bass Pro, they got beautiful fish tanks in there.
Oh, it's the one down at Patriot Place. I mean, it's gigantic.
Oh, it's a beauty. And this guy, so like a clown, says, hey, guys, if I get 2,000 likes, I will jump in the fish tank. And so he got the 2,000 likes.
Oh, no.
And he jumped in the fish tank. And that made big-time news in Louisiana.
That's the man who says he jumped into the fish tank at Bossier City Bass Pro Shops. Yep, he fessed up to it. He says he did it to become a viral sensation on TikTok. And here I thought it was just for 10-year-old girls.
Wait a minute, sir. That's a little...
I take offense to that.
Are you reporting the news, or are you just adding your own commentary?
10-year-old girls and Chris Shime.
10-year-old girls, Chris Shime, and, you know, this guy jumping in the old fish tank. So this guy already going with a slant that he doesn't like this guy. You can already tell he's already kind of belittling him a little bit.
Judgmental.
He's trying to go viral, though. You gotta go viral.
You got to do what it takes to go viral.
That's it.
Talk. And here I thought it was just for 10-year-old girls. Just be hanging my head here for a minute. All right. KSLA News 12's Kenley Hargett, live from Bass Pro. Kenley, does he even regret jumping into that fish tank?
He says just a little bit out of the safety and precaution for the fish.
Also, you know what? This is a guy.
Maybe
who,
you should have thought of that before you jumped in.
He feels bad for the fish now. So this is a guy who, you're going to notice here. He takes a little bit of, I don't know if the high road's the right way, but all of a sudden, I think he thinks he's a little bit better than he is.
Okay, now I don't know the answer to this.
Sure,
but you guys might. I'm guessing that it's pretty cold.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that It's not a heated, backyard pool that he's jumping into.
No, God, no. I think that would be really detrimental to the fish. I think they like a nice, cool, fresh water.
He says just a little bit out of the safety and precaution for the fish that live in that tank. Now, the video has been seen thousands of times across social media, and now he says he's getting what he calls his 5 minutes of fame.
It was freezing cold, dude.
Oh. There you go, Dale. Freezing cold, dude.
I was just guessing cold. That, but yeah. I was thinking that probably the minute you hit the water, right. You're thinking, oh, this was a bad plan.
I think I made a huge mistake.
Thousands of people have seen the video of now identified TikTok sensation Wevin Kies.
Let me stop you right there.
What's his name?
I was more hung up on the TikTok
sensation.
Sean,
yeah.
You're in the TikTok community. Would you describe this guy as a sensation?
I've never heard his name before, so I'm going to go with no, sir.
I think it's a no. Let's hear it again.
Thousands of people have seen the video of now identified TikTok sensation Wevin Kies.
Wevin Kies?
Wevin Kies? I don't...
No way that's his real name.
How many kids would you have before you turn to your wife and say, I don't know, let's call him Wevin, mother?
Wevin.
You have Devin, and you have Nevin, and yeah. Then you were like, all right.
Yeah, it is. Wevin Kies. He's on TikTok at WevinKise. There you go.
Wevin Kies.
Wevin.
Okay,
all right. So here's Wevin.
I got to admit, I've never heard that name before.
Nope. It's like, yeah.
Jumping into a fish tank at Bass Pro Shops in Bossier City. After he jumps in, he's seen swimming to the edge and then jumping out of the tank. He then runs off.
So what's weird is he didn't want any credit but then took full credit for it.
Yeah, I mean,
so
you
he
can
was
run
in
off
there.
If you want. You're telling the world you did.
Right, he sprints out of there and then he's in his car on the way home. You're like, I did it, guys. I did it. And he's like, he's attached his name to it, the whole thing. I don't really understand.
Wanted to get away as quick as possible. What happened was that video, that wasn't one of my buddies videoing it. It was a random person.
That person who was recording the video was Treasure McGraw.
Treasure. This woman's name is Treasure.
No, that can't be. I think he shortened up Treasurer, maybe.
Treasure. So it's a Louisiana story. So we
have
a Wevin and
treasure.
Treasure
and Wevin, yeah.
Her name's Treasure.
It was a random person.
That person who was recording the video was Treasure McGraw, who was shopping with her family when he jumped in the water.
Out of nowhere, we were getting ready to walk away. We heard a big splash. I thought one of the fish had jumped out of the water. My fiance was like, somebody's in that tank. And he was going from side to side. And next thing we knew, he done hopped out, fell out the bag, or jumped out the bag, rather. And he just soaking wet guy, just running through Bass Pro Shop.
Just the soaking wet guy.
How will we ever figure out who it was who jumped into the fish tank?
Just go to TikTok. He'll tell you.
Kies says he isn't facing charges for the stunt, but isn't advising people to try it.
Thank you.
I don't like this. I don't like this guy. Don't do what I do. Do what I say, not what I do, guy.
Well, he doesn't want somebody to get more likes than he did.
He's like, hey, train professionals only. Like, come on. No, you open the door. People are jumping in these tanks now. That's what you did. You started that. You can't have both ways. You're the only guy doing it.
But isn't advising people to try it.
Think it out before you do it because things can go wrong really quick. And you really want to think out the whole process. Don't do spur of the moment crap like I do.
What? So now you're this super mature guy all of a sudden?
Yeah, right. I mean, I know we started the program by discussing this, but I'll add it in here as well. Were fireball nips involved in his decision-making process?
No, I think he was sober. I think he was just trying to get clicks, but now all of a sudden he's like, come on, guys, so many things can go wrong.
On a normal day, though, like 98-degree, humid day, yeah. Have a couple fireball nips, you wouldn't jump in for no clicks?
I don't think I would.
Fish tank at Bass Pro. No, I might skip that.
No,
go hang out with your buds in the water.
That's true. Is it? No, but it's cool.
Have
in
a little
there.
Company.
You walk in there. It's AC. And all of a sudden, you're feeling a little bit better about yourself.
Maybe you're experiencing some hot flashes.
All right. Well, if that's the case, then I'm diving in. Yeah.
Again, he does not recommend anyone do the stunt that he did and jump into a fish tank.
Yeah, we got
and
that.
He says he's working on more creative videos, so hopefully he can go viral all over again. Reporting live here in Bossier City, Kenley Hargett, KSLA News 12.
So this idiot tells us that, hey, don't do anything spur of the moment like I do.
But
and
I'm going to think
then
up
the
something else.
Like, that's all he's working on right now. He's just sitting there like, what can I do? Maybe I'll lay down in traffic. Like,
do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
What could be dumber than jumping into the fish tank at Bass Pro? Yeah. What could he do that would be dumber?
Jumping into a gorilla cage at a zoo.
Oh yeah,
that might. You know what?
You want likes and clicks.
Oh, that video will go viral.
If he starts
time.
Doing like animal, like the dude who's having the not the murder hornet, but the other thing sting his arm.
Oh yeah, that guy. The just testing all the different pain levels. That guy knew what he was doing.
Get a scorpion on his arm or something.
Oh yeah, scorpion or eat a scorpion.
Jump into a snake pit. There you go.
Snake pit. That's what he has to do.
You just lost Rich with
that
one.
I couldn't do that.
You could not pay Keith enough money to do that.
There is no money value. Bill Gates could walk in here and be like, you can have half of what I have. I'd be like, can't do it.
No.
Can't do it, sir.
Or you'd almost like levitate. You'd hit the ground in the snake pit and then just levitate right off the ground.
I would immediately die. My heart would stop. I'd be dead. I'd be a dead person. So there you go, Dale. There's your latest TikTok star.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The Dale and Keefe Movie Review and Karaoke Tuesday at 1:45. Another problem for Major League Baseball, an impediment to returning to the baseball season. We'll give you that when we come back. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Soaking wet guys just running through Bass Pro Shop.
And here I thought it was just for 10-year-old girls.
In.
First of all, I'm a Daleaholic. You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
This is Dale and Keith.
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
There are so many things that have to go right for any of these major league sports to get back to a return to play situation. I mean, every day that we go, it seems like college football is becoming less and less likely. And even in the four major pro sports that are trying to return, there's so many things that have to go exactly right. John Heyman of the MLB Network reported this morning, 11 MLB umpires have exercised their right to opt out for the 2020 season.
Robots.
So
close.
Major League Baseball had planned on 19 crews to go into the season, about 76 umpires. 11 have now said, you know what, I think I'm out. By the way, one of those is not Joe West,
no,
who is smack dab in the middle of the danger zone here, but he says, nope, they're going to have to haul me off the field.
Yeah, he's all about it.
So what it's probably going to mean is probably getting reserves. Now you've got all the minor league umpires are available because the minor league baseball season disappeared. So, you know, maybe you're going to have to go down there to grab some guys. But at the moment, 11 umpires have said, no, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be robots, Dale, but they got to be considering it.
Strike three.
Look at this guy. He's ready to go. You're not going to argue with that guy, are you?
No.
You're not going to win.
Yeah.
You're going to look like an absolute buffoon if you argue with him. So, I mean, there'll be other umpires that step up. Like, I don't know how good the current umpires are anyway. So, if you have to pull up some from the minors, then so be it.
I do think, and the Joe West story, which came out last week, and I was just going to, I skipped right past it because he's one of those deniers. You know, he doesn't believe that COVID-19 really exists, that it's a big deal. And
well, he's also a look at me guy, if there ever was one.
Do you think?
If there ever was one for an umpire. But yeah, between age and just, I don't know, maybe this is judging a book by its cover, but health. He would not be the guy necessarily that you would think would just want to be back in action. But, you know, again, it's about Joe West, so he's not going to miss it. First of all, he has an opportunity to take some headlines like a week or so ago when he makes his statements about how he's going to be there. And then, you know, he's going to be making a big deal about it once the games do start.
It's hard for me to say too much bad about Joe West in this regard. You know, he's always been so great with the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. He's always helped us out. He's always donated. And I've always appreciated that by him. Haven't been a big fan of his work between the lines anyway.
Nah, just on the field, I don't like in any of the sports when the umpire or referee tries to make it about themselves and likes to, you know, either they throw guys out quickly or they just, it's a whole, like, we're there to see the players. We're there, you know, that's what we want to see. Give us a chance to, you know, have them make some great plays. We're not there to see you call a guy out.
So that the umpires who have reportedly opted out makes up 15% of the officiating workforce in Major League Baseball. The NFL has 17 crews of officials, 7 work each game, 124 total officials, and we don't know yet who or what or how many of them will opt out, but they don't have a lot of leeway here. You know, Major League Baseball's got a few extras to begin with. They can go to the minor league system. If a bunch of NFL officials say, no, we're out, we're not going to do this, where do they go?
Replacement,
college football?
No, the replacement refs. Oh, yeah, I guess some of them are college, but remember we saw the replacement refs and they had some famously blown calls. But, you know, with the added replay, maybe some of that, it kind of goes down a little bit because I don't think it's the greatest officiated sport to begin with, right? I mean, so if you take those guys down and you rely a little bit more on replay, you know, they'll get the crews out there, like, and you know, you may have to make do with whoever's available.
The NHL announced a week or so ago the list of officials who have been assigned to each of the two hub cities, and they had the list. These are the referees. These are the linesmen. These guys are going to Toronto. This group's going to Edmonton. And apparently, prior to releasing that list, they got approval from all of those officials. Yeah, I want to be involved. I'm going. Yeah. I'm there. So they've apparently got their group of officials already set. It looks like Major League Baseball is going to have to scramble a little bit. I mean, they start play week after next.
Yeah, 10 days for the Red Sox opener. I mean, it's crazy. It's because it seems so far off. And when all these sports started finalizing their date, I mean, the NBA seemed to have their date a long time ago. And then you're like, oh, just wait. And it just feels like it's never going to get here. And you don't want to jinx it. And you just want to make sure that things are going well enough where they can start to play.
I know we go back and forth on this stuff. We wax and we wane about our confidence. I'm still fairly confident that the National Hockey League will be able to finish their season. I'm noticing nationwide the confidence level in the NFL finishing their season is really slipping.
Yeah, I think the two bubble sports that are also just basically doing playoffs, eight games for the NBA, but basically just playoffs, I have pretty good confidence that they're going to find a way to get it done. Baseball, they already have so much stuff going against themselves. They don't want to be out there. Players are upset about how many games and the money, and the owners aren't thrilled because there's no crowd and everything else. So that thing could fall apart. We've already seen more star players in baseball bag out than the other sports. And then football seems to be in this wait and see approach. And if the country...
They've still got details. They haven't even sorted through everything yet.
Well, I think what they're really hoping for is, people in the country to get it together and for states to be better off, and then it's easier to make plans. We go back to when the NBA first said they were going to Disney, Florida wasn't in as bad of a shape as it is now. And so the NFL is hoping to play all across the country. And I think before they put in any, hard line decisions, they want to hopefully make sure that things look a little bit better. And so they're banking on time. They're like, all right, we might miss some of the preseason. Training camp might be a little bit different, but they're really praying that a September start time makes sense. And then we have no idea what the second wave is going to be. Is it going to be the same, worse,
not
as
even
bad?
Through the first
no
wave
idea
yet.
Right, exactly. So who even knows what that's going to be like?
Let me play you this cut real quickly. This is the director of the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Robert Redfield, and he made a statement yesterday, and I know this has become a political argument in this country. I don't quite understand why it has, but it has. But Dr. Redfield said this yesterday, which I think if you're a fan of pro sports, you should listen to, because I think he's got a point here.
Actually, face coverings work. It's our major defense to prevent ourselves from getting this infection. If all of us would put on a face covering now for the next 4 weeks to 6 weeks, I think we could drive this epidemic to the ground in the country. So
he said if everyone would put on a face covering for the next 4 to 6 weeks, you could drive COVID-19 to the ground. His words, not mine. If you're a sports fan, if you desperately want to see, your kids' high school football games, or you want to see the Patriots or the Bruins or the Celtics or the Red Sox, wouldn't it be worth it to put one on and stop this petty bickering that everybody's doing about the political aspect of it? If what you thought you'd get at the end is we drive COVID-19 to the ground.
It seems simple enough, but again, you can't get everybody to agree that, the sun's out when it is. So people are going to fight back on it, unfortunately. And yeah, the chances aren't as good. 4 weeks, like think about that. 4 weeks, another month of this, like it seems like a lot, but if you don't do it, it's going to be how many more months of this?
So that's the thing.
Yeah, that's what's frustrating, but we've just seen too many examples of defiant, idiotic people, and so you're not going to get it. And oh, by the way, too, you should point out to wear the mask, to wear them properly. Like you've already gotten it one step, you might as well not have it, covering your chin or
that probably
your
isn't
mouth
help
open or your nose exposed. Like people don't seem to get that still.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you in just a few minutes. Our Dale and Keith movie review at about 1:45 or so, followed by Chris Scheim in Tuesday Karaoke. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.